This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Forever! Dog!
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to Literati, a podcast about books and how many of them I can fit in my mouth at once. My current record is 6, but they were all Babysitter's Club books.
We are your intrepid hosts. I'm Colin O'Brien.
And I'm Michael Wolff.
Now, these days, it seems like anybody can just go out and start a podcast about whatever the heck they want, even if they know nothing about the topic. Well, here at Literati, we pride ourselves on our pedigrees.
True. We aren't literary fakers. In fact, I once bought every single book in a bookstore and then resold those books online at an incredible markup.
And I once shoplifted from American Apparel.
Oh, that's a reference to the Tao Lin book. Okay. One of the main questions we always get from the thousands of listeners we pretend to have is, why are books so scary? Every time I start reading a book, I end up screaming and shaking in the corner of my room.
Gosh, I want to read more, but I'm spending my entire budget on new sheets because I'm constantly pissing the bed out of fright, reading chapter after chapter on ghosts, ghouls, and creepazoids is another thing that people say.
Well, we have some good news for you. That's not all books. You're reading a specific kind of book called horror.
Now, believe it or not, there are tons of different types of books, or genres, if you want to be a real grad student about it.
That's right. A genre is a style of storytelling. If books were dessert, which they pretty much are to smart guys like us, then genres are the specific desserts that you could eat. Do you want a cold, creamy gelato or a rich chocolate mousse?
Or what about a macaroon?
Yes, very good, Colin. That's a different type of dessert.
Thank you.
And it's good to mix it up from time to time. It sounds like our listeners are eating too much horror ice cream, as it were, and are experiencing brain freeze.
Maybe it's time you try a different treat, like a plum pudding. But now that you know exactly what a genre is in vivid, tasty detail, what are your options?
Great question. What do you say we tell our listeners all about our favorite genres?
Wait, is that what this has all been leading to? Were you building up to that the whole time?
Yeah.
Wow! Holy fucking moly! I thought we were just shooting the shit! Hot damn! Nice, Michael. Nice.
I will take it. Okay, well, today we're just going to be focusing on fiction genres and ignoring nonfiction because we enjoy being happy. And if you're a writer, these are some great options you can use before writing your book. Let's start with one of my favorites. Mystery. Somebody did something, and now somebody else is trying to figure it out. This is a great book to read if you like murdered people and spooky stuff that isn't ghosts and ghouls, but real-life spooky like Knives and Pearls. This is a great book to write if you have no idea how to end your book. You can just throw a lot of confusing and misleading stuff in there for a couple hundred pages because your main character also doesn't know how the mystery ends. So you just have to solve it before they do.
Next genre, horror. I think we pretty much covered this one in the intro, yeah? Just rewind about 30 seconds. You'll figure it out.
Next genre, fantasy. What's that sound I hear? Swords clashing and dragons kissing and ogres running around like crazy. I must be reading a fantasy novel. These are great books for when you want to escape the real world and live in a world of weird freaks who care about stuff like rings and thrones. Oh, and reader be warned, these books tend to be long and full of maps that show you where the important mountain ranges are. Also, lots of weird mythical creatures. This is a good book to write if you hate naming characters things like Karen and Doug, but you love naming people Argorath and Helvenspoon.
Next genre, historical fiction. What if Abraham Lincoln had been very short? What if Harriet Tubman loved skateboarding? Historical fiction is when you take stuff from the past and then come lies all over it. This is one of the only ways to make nonfiction enjoyable. But it's also very confusing because how am I supposed to know what's even real anymore? This is a great genre of book to read if you want to pretend the past was better than it was. This is a great book to write if you don't have any ideas for characters, setting, or plot, and instead of coming up with any, you just set your book in World War II and add robots. Or if you want to make historical figures have sex with each other.
That's a great way to do that. Westerns.
Howdy there, partner. You're standing on my horse.
Just kidding. Westerns are books about cowboys. The end.
Science fiction. These are books that ask the questions, what if science was interesting? Lasers, aliens, spaceships, all kinds of freaky deaky stuff. Often sci-fi describes humanity by describing non-human things. For example, I wrote a sci-fi book about a boy whose dad is a robot with a cold, hard diamond for a heart. But it's really about my own relationship with my real father and how he had a very expensive pacemaker.
And finally, classics. These are, Well, I guess these are just books that everybody agrees are really good.
Oh, yeah.
Can that be right?
Yeah.
If so, I would highly recommend writing a classic. Why doesn't everyone just write in that genre?
Oh, yeah, just do that.
Huh. Weird.
Well, that's just some of the many genres out there. Even more exist, if you can believe it.
So experiment with reading and writing in genre. And if you don't, hey, that's fine. It just means your book is about people living. And that's nice, too.
Sure.
Good choice. But today's writer has chosen a very exciting genre that we didn't even cover in these fun, funny examples. They are a children's book author and also a scholar of white culture.
Here, reading an excerpt from Bradford Goes to School, it's Amy Tang.
Hi, this is Amy Tang. That's not Amy Tan, it's Amy Tang. I'm a children's book author and a scholar in white culture. Today I'll be reading from my children's picture book, Bradford Goes to School. This is the story of Bradford. Bradford is 7 years old. He is white, and that's okay. Today, Bradford is going to school. Before Bradford goes to school, he needs to wake up. Bradford's mom gently shakes him awake and says, "I love you, Bradford, and I'm so proud of you." This is something white parents say to their children all the time. They don't even have to do anything. "Shut up, Mom!" 7-year-old Bradford screams. This is how Bradford talks to his mom and other elders. "Time for school," Mom says, which is important, but definitely not what your worth to me is dependent on. Bradford gets dressed, skips breakfast because he is allowed to, and heads out for school. How should Bradford get to school today? Should he ski to school? White people love to ski because it is cold, inconvenient, and dangerous. It also costs lots of money, which is a bonus. "Not today," says Bradford. Should he go to a brewery before school? White people love going to breweries, especially with their children and babies. "Not today," says Bradford. Should he think about taking a sabbatical so he can travel and try to find himself? White people find this acceptable. "This is exhausting," Bradford exclaims. "I just want to take a break." So, he does. Bradford doesn't go to school today. And that's okay. The...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
And...
This just in, Amy Tang is so good.
Yeah, thank you so much, Amy, for being here and for sharing that reading with us. Absolutely incredible.
Wow,
yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Well, I just got to say, I don't normally pretend to be a newscaster all the time, so it takes a really special reader and author to get me to kind of do that do-do-do-do
thing. Oh, wow. I feel very honored.
Well, we are so excited. And I just, right off the bat, I want to say, I am white.
I didn't want to be the first to say it, but I did notice.
And I should, because obviously our listeners can only hear our voices, I should probably also say that I am also white.
I'm very excited to be in the room with two white people right
yeah.
now.
Well, I just
and
want
so
to
we should also say that you are not white.
No, never have been, never want to be.
Oh, really? Never
well,
have been.
That's okay. That never have been. That part is okay. True. But I would be lying if I said I didn't secretly, dress up sometimes.
Wear the whole costume.
So now that our listeners know which ones of us are white and which ones are not, we can start the interview.
And I want to say that it was cool that you included it's okay to be white, because I don't always feel that way. I do feel somewhat persecuted by... Mm-hmm. our society and our culture. I feel like it's right now, it's the hardest time ever for white people. That's the hardest thing to be, is to be a white man in society. So it's cool to have a writer just sort of saying that that's okay.
That there are going to be children who grow up with that message and can hear that the only message that they hear growing up doesn't have to be it's not okay to
be
white.
Yes, exactly. And the backstory a little bit about how I wrote Bradford Goes to School was originally it was intended as a book to educate Asian American children about what it would be like to grow up white. But I'm so touched that it's also, being read by white children and making them feel okay.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything, but, necessarily that's not out there or make it all about numbers. But this book has spiked in gated communities and in white culture just as sort of, I would say, almost a rallying war cry.
I have heard about gated communities before. Yes, I've studied them a little, but I think I've only been once. I felt a little uncomfortable there, so I left pretty quickly. But it was an eye-opening experience.
To people who aren't used to gated community, it could seem like the gate is shutting you in. Rather, really what it's supposed to be is keeping people out. So that might be a confusing.
Okay. Yeah, you should feel safer than ever when you're in there because it's just sort
of
like...
I just didn't fully understand what it's like to be from there. Mm. And so I felt pretty unsafe. But... that's good to know, and thank you for taking the time and energy to educate
me. Our pleasure,
of course.
Absolutely.
And your experience isn't my experience, so I don't know how to relate to it. But I did want to ask a little bit. I've never before met someone who was a scholar of white culture. In fact, I didn't even know white culture necessarily existed.
Oh, well, that is something that I take offense to. I would like people to know that there is such a thing as white culture, and I, didn't personally grow up in it, but I feel like I've read tons of books. I studied abroad in Vermont, and I've learned a lot about it. So
exotic.
It was very exotic.
Not to us. I mean, it must be exotic to you. Vermont.
It was very exotic to me, but I felt very welcome. I felt like it was a whole new world, but it was beautiful. And I hope more people can see that.
I'm so glad to hear you say it. And it should be, if people go there, they'll realize they're just people.
It's
people. Not weird
it
to,
not weird.
It's not weird to ski to school. Like, it's just.
It's not weird to have two minivans.
No, two minivans.
What
are
some other white stereotypes?
Well, since you seem to have been given permission, I will just dive right in.
Yes, please.
Let's see. Having a place on Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, God, to summer on the vineyard.
Yes, the vineyard. I've heard that you say
Yeah, you know the expression, winter in Vermont, summer on the vineyard.
Wow.
That seems
too cold and too hot to me, but,
We love to live in extremes.
Yes, yes.
Just
like
ourselves.
Let's see. What else?
There's so many.
So many
khakis.
Things. Khakis. That's when I don't fully understand, but I'm trying.
I don't like it when I, or it's a little bit offensive when I see people from other backgrounds and cultures wearing khakis, because it just sort of feels like you don't know the history.
I guess. Right? Yeah, that's true. I will have to. I have to admit, I have worn khakis before.
Well, were they pleated?
They were supposed to be. I don't think I had taken care of them.
Yeah, so. Oh, you.
I think I bought the khakis and I didn't wear
them
correctly.
You don't need to pleat them. They're either pleated or they're not pleated. Oh, gosh, this is so. What an interesting culture clash.
This is definitely. I thought, you know, this was years ago. I must have still been in high school or college. It was a different time. But I owned a pair of khakis.
Yeah. It was a different time.
It was a different time.
It was a different time.
What about in-ground pools?
Oh, sure. I've been, I guess what I don't understand is, what is, there's in-ground pools.
Yes.
And then there's other kinds of pools?
Yes, there is the above-ground pool.
What is an above-ground
pool? An above-ground pool?
Pool
is basically a bowl up above the ground. So in-ground is you walk and then it goes down and it's filled that way.
Yes, I think I'm more familiar with that.
Okay, so the above-ground is also popular in the suburbs and it's typically round. Sometimes it's kidney-shaped. Okay. And it's literally like a giant bowl full of... It's basically a giant bowl filled with water.
Here. Okay, yes. Yeah. Well, what is it made out of?
Like plastic?
I think it's mostly water.
Yes.
Okay.
Most of it by percentage is water, and then there's a plastic barrier in bottom.
Thank you. That feels like a complete answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Also, as you touched upon in your book, it is common for seven-year-olds to go to breweries before school. I know I did when I was growing up. If I didn't feel like going to school right away, I would go to a brewery.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. You're not just saying that to make me feel more comfortable.
No, I wouldn't. True. Not.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Especially winters in Vermont, because there were a lot of hoppy breweries there.
Oh yes, hops. I've heard about hops. Hoppy.
And we love hops.
What's cool is as a kid, you're encouraged to just sort of drink, and especially as a boy, it's just like boys will be boys. So you'll be 13, you'll maybe have one too many, but it doesn't really. I guess what I'd say is there aren't repercussions, even if you fuck up pretty bad.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, can I ask this?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And feel free to let me know if I'm out of line, but why do you like hops? They just seem unpleasant to me. And I don't know.
That makes a lot of sense.
I mean, it's definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it something you have to grow up with?
We grew up with it. And so there's an element of tradition.
Grow into it. Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes things are bad and... By forcing yourself to like it, that sort of gives you a personality.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, something I've come to find is white culture, if I can make a sweeping generalization.
Please.
All right. It seems like white culture is just having fun.
Yes.
That I would say is
100%
true.
Yes. We love fun. We love having it. We love being around it.
Mm-hmm. We love starting it, starting some fun.
I've never heard this phrase
before.
Driven
trucks around a big bonfire in the woods?
No, I would be too busy leading a productive life.
Oh, no. Yeah, so it's called...
This was all a high school for me.
Yeah, so basically you get a truck, you go into a field, and you do what's called driving a truck in a circle.
Wow.
Yeah. And you just go spin and spin and spin, and then your friends are all getting drunk, and you're... crushing brews, and there's a big fire, and somebody's playing Kenny Chesney on guitar.
Yeah.
Kenny Chesney. Yes, I've heard of this artist.
That is the right term.
I do love his music, but I don't agree with the lifestyle.
What's the specific?
I don't care to elaborate.
Well, we'd love to hear more if there's stuff you want to share, and I don't want to say speak for all Asian Americans, but I would invite you to be an ambassador for your race and sort of speak for all Asian Americans.
I mean, it's not too, I don't find that too difficult because there's so many voices of my kind making different kinds of art. So it Especially these days, too many, some would say. And I would like to share a little more about it's a series, the Bradford series.
Okay.
So Bradford Goes to School is the first one in the series.
Great.
Book number two is coming out soon. It's called Bradford Takes a Math Test.
Okay.
A little spoiler alert, he doesn't.
Okay, because he just doesn't want to.
But he probably still does well in the class.
Oh, yes. The class doesn't matter for him. Yes, he'll be fine in life. Yeah.
Yeah, just if you ask, you'll get extra credit. And probably his mom and the math teacher are friends from back in the day.
You know, something that does seem to be a big culture divide is you guys use calculators for things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Almost all the time.
Yeah. Mm. I love them.
Yeah, when I have to figure out a tip at a restaurant, when I have to figure out, you know, what's 12% of $40, you know, I have to use my calculator for that. I pull that out. Sure. That's fun. In high school math, I was using my calculator all the time.
For a long time, I thought the iPhone, I didn't realize it was a phone. I thought it was just a calculator keep in your pocket and that you could get a phone app on your very expensive calculator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
All I was using it for was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. As all of these are, sometimes I just like to punctuate it.
Sure.
One of my first ever toys was a set of flashcards with math problems on them.
Mm.
And so, you know.
Exhilarating for a child
to
get cards.
It was so exhilarating. I must have been younger than 5 years old. So the need for a calculator never really arose until when we needed the graphing kind.
Mm.
Yeah, no one could have predicted that you needed flashcards for graphs.
No.
Yeah.
Not me. I had a small $200-$300 calculator, and by small, I mean pretty fucking big, mm-hmm. with me at all time. Whenever I was challenged with a math problem, I would just pull it out and make that do the thinking for me.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next book? Are there more in the Bradford series?
They're in the works.
Okay.
I could try to think of some right now.
Oh, yeah. I would love to
see the process.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
The process.
All right,
yeah.
Let me just...
Like, what else could Bradford
do? Let's see what comes. Bradford... goes.
Okay, great. Wow. He's on his way somewhere.
There's a lot of...
to church.
Bradford goes to church.
Bradford goes to church.
Wow. That's wholesome.
And probably... wholesome. To be a good, and to be a good member of his faith, probably doesn't have to go.
No, he just has to show up. He can fall asleep during
his
service.
And he can probably just use his faith later on in life to like excuse other behavior.
Or condemn parts of the population.
Yes.
Do you mind? I might take some notes down.
Yeah, please.
Absolutely.
Just these things you're saying passively, I will count as speaking for all.
Yeah, of course. Yes. We have been told we are model whites.
Wow, model whites.
Yes. Yeah. And I will say that sometimes you only need to, if you do look for details, you only need to go to church once a year on one of the big holidays.
I've heard of this. Okay.
Yeah. So but you can still claim Christianity or, you know, whatever it is you're claiming.
Mm-hmm.
And then, use that to shape quote unquote moral judgments and political beliefs that affect millions of other people who may have not only real religious beliefs, but actual real life consequences.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Here's a little fun fact just about the book series. Bradford, his parents named him after Bradley Whitford.
Yes, the famous white actor.
Yes.
They combined Bradley Whitford's two names
Bradford.
To make it one
Bradford.
Name.
And
that is
amazing.
Bradford
has a younger brother who's 5 years old named Lee Witt.
And is that a...
It's the middle part of Bradley Whitford.
Okay.
Wow. You know, they just as
they
the
must
native,
be big fans.
Yes, they used every part of the buffalo.
You have to use every part of the Bradley Whitford buffalo.
So one
such a beautiful name.
It really is.
One thing I didn't like was how Bradford was rude to his mom.
Oh, sure.
Because while I believe that happened and was real, I hate to portray that.
Okay.
I would love to just cover that up, you know?
Sure. I just felt like it, for me, it was important to expose both the positive and negative aspects that I had observed in white culture.
What do you mean negative aspects?
You know, you're right. I would not count that as a negative aspect.
Okay.
But I do think there are some negative aspects of white culture.
Because I would just say that growing up white, I just found it so empowering to scream at my parents.
Mm-hmm,
like the first time I did it was sort of a rite of passage to just yell full volume at your parents.
Mm. Now that's very foreign to me. I couldn't imagine.
It feels
that.
Great. And I don't feel bad about it now.
Okay.
You don't think about it a lot.
No,
late
and
at
it
night.
Doesn't make me feel embarrassed or ashamed.
Right. The people who gave you everything.
Yep. That I yelled at them.
But I'm sure if you yelled at them, it was about something pretty big.
Yeah, probably. something
something
big.
That mattered.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just do it over some small thing you didn't get your way about.
No, no. My parents deserve to be yelled at.
Well, Amy, I want to ask a little bit about your writing process.
Sure.
What is it?
Sometimes I just, I take myself into Westchester.
I sit just take Amtrak, Metro North?
I just take the Metro North.
Yeah. What's that, 4 or 5 stops?
About 4 or 5.
Okay.
I sit in a coffee shop and I just write down what I see.
Mm.
That's amazing. And to speak about process, I also noticed when reading the story aloud, it was a very short story, but
yes,
looking at the book right in front of me, it looks to be about 500 to 700 pages.
It's somewhere in between 500 and 700. It is a picture 600. Book.
Oh, okay. So it's just filled with pictures.
Call that 600
Wait, let me
pages.
Get my calculator.
No, it's okay,
yeah,
Michael.
Roughly 600.
All right. Well, so as you can see, the text, mm-hmm. there's not too much text.
No.
But there's plenty of pictures.
Yes. There's some cool ones of like Bradford on skis.
Yes, he is blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
That's awesome.
But one of my favorite
like
parts
Michael
about
and I?
That, yes. One of my favorite parts about white people is that they were all blonde as children.
Yes, toe-headed is
toe-headed.
The
toe-headed. What a strange term.
I never understood it, and I didn't even know that's what it meant until I asked somebody, what does toe-headed mean? And it means blonde.
I learned that from the white television show Full House.
And then also, if you put a pair of gold-toed socks on a toe-headed child, toe-head, gold toe.
That's from Fuller House. Mm.
That's
on Netflix.
A joke from Fuller House. Wow, yeah. That's great that they brought that show back.
Colin's writing for it.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just nice to be able to write for a show that sort of speaks to, mm-hmm. you know.
He does all the dog storylines.
All the dog storylines. Yeah. That's wonderful. You know, my favorite.
The D plot.
Wow, the D plot.
Dog plot.
Oh, yes, D for dog. Yeah. You know, my favorite part of that is that in Full House, they were called the Tanners.
Mm-hmm.
In Fuller House, their last name is Fuller. And also, the series starts.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's so fucking stupid.
And the series starts because DJ, who was married to a firefighter named with the last name Fuller, he has just died in a fire. And so that's
why. That's how the series starts?
Yes, her husband has died in a fire, and she must raise her 3 children with her 2 female friends. Well, a female friend and her sister.
Yeah.
So
you
it's
can
exactly
be friends with your sister.
Sure.
I would say we shouldn't be going out off on a tangent, but I can't think of anything whiter than Fuller House on Netflix.
Yeah, I guess I can't either. They do have a foreign person in it. Kimmy Gibbler is with a Latino man.
All right.
Mm.
Well, if that isn't progress, I don't know what is.
There's plenty of Latino jokes.
Good. For tasteful ones? I bet they're really like.
I can't speak for them.
Yeah, I probably won't either. I could, but I won't. And Amy, what did you always want to write for children? Have you done any novels for adults?
You know, I used to want to write for adults, but I find children's minds are more malleable. You can start them young.
Just get in there.
Just get in there, yes.
Start rooting around.
Yes.
Planting seeds.
Yes, planting seeds. I found that when I was trying to write for adults, I had a lot of pushback of, this is not how the world is. This is not how we think. And now that I write for children, fewer reviews, I would say.
Not a lot of criticism.
Not a lot of criticism.
That's very smart. That's that's really smart to start writing for an audience that doesn't know enough to be like, hey, I don't think this is right.
Yes, I'm able to aggressively market to them without any pushback. And it's almost as if children don't have rights.
Colin, should we make this a children's podcast?
I think so.
Just real quick, has any of the past content we've done, would that be not appropriate?
I can't think of anything we've done that wouldn't be appropriate
for
children.
Don't have time to check.
Yeah.
So, Alex, let's go ahead and let's change this in iTunes to make this a children's educational podcast. Okay.
Awesome. Wow. There we go.
Top in the charts.
Top in the charts. So now You're specifically are a children's author, but there's plenty of genres out there.
True.
Are there any genres? Do you have a favorite genre that you like to read? And this isn't a music podcast, so don't say dubstep.
Wow. For a genre.
Were you going to say that?
Were you going to
I
say?
I thought about
you're
it.
You're going to say dubstep.
All I want to say is dubstep.
Don't
now.
Say it.
No, don't say it. But no, seriously, what kind of literature tickles your fancy?
Call me a fetishist, but I really love anything by a white author.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
You can also call me a fetishist.
Oh,
and based on my search history.
Oh, sure. Yes. Specifically historical fiction.
Okay.
Okay.
Because
I love historical fiction.
Oh,
what if Abraham Lincoln had a hoverboard?
Yeah.
Oh,
stuff
yes. Like that. That's what really good about. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. We found a bunch of new genres that I didn't even know.
Wow.
Brand new.
Yeah. So there's like, I'm looking forward to getting into some of these. I found this recently on a website. There's bizarro fiction, Nordic noir, flash fiction, spoetry, which is poetry composed of subject lines from spam emails.
Spoetry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's like Twitter fiction, cashier memoir, which is just true life tales from behind the cash register.
Wow.
These are all, I found these on a website. You know, and they have to be true.
They gotta be real. You can't put that online if it's not verified.
Wow. Yes, that's true. You know, I got a spam email today that was pretty fun.
Would love to hear it.
Maybe we could make it into something.
Yeah, we could turn it into a poem.
I think I probably have some spam.
I
put them all in one folder.
Yeah, I put them under my favorites.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, we're both.
It's similar. Yeah. Similar ideas.
This is a good one.
What do you have?
I have sex adult, sex dating, confirm your subscription now, emoji lips, emoji tongue. Hi there. This is an email to inform you that your email address has been listed as a subscriber to receive notifications from our adult sex plus 18 website. So, Alex, just take this stuff out. For if this one does launch on the kids one.
Oh, yes.
And then I can either click, yes, it's me, let's get started, or confirm unsubscribe. So I'll just click both of those.
Okay, just at the same time?
Yeah.
I have one. It says, get $25 just for having friends.
That's a beautiful line of poetry.
It's beautiful poetry.
Get $25 just for having friends?
Yes, that's what it says.
I'd pay $25 just to have
friends.
Yes,
honestly, it seems like if you already have friends, why would you need $25?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can
You've
just
already
ask your,
won.
Yeah, and you can just ask your friends for it.
Yeah.
They'll lend you the money.
It's a confusing headline. Confusing subject line.
I've got another one. ? We've detected unusual activity on your account? ? Warning.
Now, is this one related to the last one about the...
No, this one's from Google, but it's spaced weird and the colors are wrong.
Okay,
so I think that's a good. That's more of like an E.E. Cummings style poem.
Yes, yeah. I have another one. Okay. This one says, everyone needs a friend, unless that friend is Greta.
Is that a spam email?
Is that a real one?
Yeah, it's from Alamo Drafthouse.
Oh.
Who's Greta?
I think she is a character played by... Chloe Grace Moretz.
So
wait, in that Suspiria, the new
is it?
I don't know.
I think it's called Greta.
Oh,
it's a different.
Everyone needs a friend unless that friend is Greta.
Hey, amen to that.
This isn't just a campaign by Alamo Drafthouse to have people not be friends with a woman named Greta.
Mm.
A lot of your spam emails are friend related.
Those are just the ones that hurt me the most.
I do have one that is marked spam that I'm not going to give the details of, but it is a person asking a mass list of people to come be on his podcast that's on the radio and like a, you know, a Brooklyn local radio station. And he emailed me and this list of like 150 people about once a week for so long that I had to mark it as spam so I no longer would get it.
Wow.
So just listeners at home, those are your spam headlines, and just you can create a poem.
Oh, this
from that.
One says,
what do you got?
Catch Josh Groban in theaters.
That's not spam. That's just something you're not
going
to go to.
That one you got to move.
You should go to that. You could write a whole novel.
Yeah,
you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That one probably came up from research you were doing.
That's true. I signed up for that.
Are you a Josh Groban fan? Because I find that he is the pinnacle of mediocrity.
I would say when I saw the words Josh Groban, I did think white.
Yes. Yes. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now,
yes.
I got to admit that as writers ourselves, we're sort of pioneers in terms of genres. We're breaking rules in genre bending. Colin is a master of both self-help and self-harm genres.
Wow. Yeah.
And Michael is a pioneer in the erotic autobiography genre.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Erotic and just sort of like autobiography.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm telling the story of my life, but I'm also trying to get my readers off.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And Alex, just real quick, can we just make sure that if this goes out today as a children's educational podcast, we just get a sample of some of my erotic autobiography and tack that on the beginning to hook them?
You got to send it to me.
I haven't written it yet.
Oh.
But we just want to know, can we do that once he sends it to you?
Sure. Yeah,
great.
Yes.
We can do whatever we want.
Well,
we can do whatever we want.
Awesome. Wow,
that
fantastic.
Sounds great.
Michael, you also did a lot of controversial work in the young adult nonfiction genre.
Yeah, it was controversial because it was a lot of me trying to tell the stories of real life kids leading real exciting lives. And a lot of the parents said, don't write these.
What kind of kids were they?
Like little scrappy kids.
What had they accomplished?
Just getting in fights, going on little adventures. You know, like Stand By Me, where the kids go and find a dead body in the woods?
So these were real children who had found...
Yeah.
It's young adult nonfiction.
Yeah, it's nonfiction.
Okay.
So it's like imagine Harry Potter, except it's just a kid who has a shitty family and they treat him poorly and none of the magic stuff happens.
So these are stories to get them. Michael had to hang around kids a lot.
Or you know how in Twilight, like it's sort of this kind of abusive relationship with a supernatural lens put over it?
Yes.
Just take out the supernatural
stuff. Yeah. Wow. And then also they're real children.
Yeah, they're real children's stories.
Okay. Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah. And then I've also, I've written a bunch of Easterns, which are sort of my version of a Western. Just I've never been out west, so I just sort of base it.
And it's on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's just east, but it's still
Martha's
a lot of
Vineyard
still
stuff.
Yeah, still a lot of saloons and gunfights and stuff.
There's a really good chapter, or actually, is it a whole book? It's a chapter on Rhode Island.
Wow. Is Newport in there?
Oh, you better believe Newport's in there.
Oh my gosh.
And if you think I'd write about Newport and not include the folk festival, you're mistaken.
I was just hearing about the folk festival today.
Woo!
Went
man.
Right over my head. Well, what is that place where one of the Kennedys killed someone?
Chappaquiddick.
Yes. Wow. What a word.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get that in there.
Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick.
That's going to replace the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. You guys know that?
That's the sentence that has every letter?
Yes.
And Chappaquiddick also has every letter?
Chappaquiddick has every letter in
twice,
it.
Twice. Repeating every letter twice, yeah.
Oh,
What was the sentence that has every letter?
It is a quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
All right.
Is that right? Is it missing Z?
Lazy. Lazy.
Oh, yeah, lazy.
Z.
Okay.
Quick fox.
Yeah. And if we can just fact check this. Alex?
It's the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. That is it.
And
that's real.
So that has every letter of the English alphabet.
Do you remember what they said in Donnie Darko? Who was the actress in Donnie Darko?
Was it Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I think it was.
That's not the one who says the thing I want.
Okay.
She was a child actress. She was in Taxi.
Oh. You know.
Oh, wait. But she was an adult in this movie?
Yes.
Oh, so that's Jodie Foster?
Yes.
Not Jodie Foster. Wow. Close. It sounds
just
like
can't
that.
Win with this guy.
I know. It's that just movie. That I really need it.
Well, then
to
you
be right.
fucking remember it.
I'm trying really hard to. Drew Barrymore.
She was in Taxi?
She was in Taxi?
Taxi Driver. I believe Drew Barrymore got her start in Taxi Driver. Anyway, she's in Donnie Darko, and she says cellar door is
cellar
the most
door is
beautiful.
The most, yes, that's
phrase.
Walt Whitman. Someone said that.
I believe it was Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore said that cellar door is the most beautiful phrase in the English language,
and it also has all the letters in the alphabet.
Yes, Chappaquiddick.
All the good ones. Anyway.
All the good ones.
Yeah.
Cellar Door was the name of the literary magazine at my high school.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Imagine a whole literary magazine based off Donnie Darko.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that movie?
You know, I haven't been asked that question. And now that I think about it, I don't know if I did, but I did love it, which I think is how I feel about white culture, not to bring it back, but I don't know if I get it, but I do love it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not something you have to like over intellectualize. You just feel it.
Is that the movie where they play the song Mad World?
Yeah. Yes.
I love that song. I play it all the time.
Yeah. And a good song can make an okay movie feel important. Mm-hmm.
And also that bunny was huge.
Bunny was huge.
Big bunny.
Bunny was so big. I've never seen a bunny that big.
It's impressive. Yeah. Not since I went to that radioactive island.
Rhode Island?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Wow.
They spilled a lot of chemicals, and the people there, weird. They'll eat the strangest stuff right out of the ocean. That's how sick they are.
Wow. Wow. You know, the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. That's from that song.
Is that from Drew Barrymore?
I think it's kind of sad.
We do not have the rights to this song.
Scree! Okay. Well, I pulled the e-brake.
Well, you know, just imagine like a little teenager listening to that over and over every morning.
And and writing for the cellar door.
Writing for the cellar. I actually did not write for the cellar door. Yeah. I'd already moved on to children.
When did you start writing?
When did I start writing? As soon as I was no longer considered a child to myself, I started writing for children.
Yes.
And were you writing for... Were you writing for adults when you were a child?
Yes.
Or,
Yes. You know, strictly sexual stories as a child for adults.
Huh. Those must have been pretty inaccurate.
Yeah.
So what would something like that be that a child would write a sexual story? Because I really was confused on what sex was for a long time, up until last week.
Yes.
When I went to the Natural History Museum, and I saw some of the exhibits, and I was like, I get it.
That's a good one. It's a good museum.
Yes. That squid and the whale just tangled up together.
Oh, my gosh. I was just talking about the movie The Squid and the Whale with someone.
Noah Baumbach, white filmmaker.
Yes. Do you remember that scene where the boy is mad about his parents' divorce, so he puts his jizz everywhere in the library?
Yes. I do remember this because I watched that movie several times in high school and thought, how good.
Yeah.
You also
lived it. You lived that story.
Especially that scene.
Story. Yes, I lived that scene. Of course, I didn't have access to the library, so I had to go to Amazon.com, and I was like, well, I'll spread it everywhere.
You went to...
One of the pickup lockers.
I ruined my family's computer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
And then when they asked why, you're like, because I want you to get back together.
Yeah.
Isn't it clear?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
and I stole a Pink Floyd song and I sang it. Do you remember how he does that in the movie too? He plays, I believe, Wish You Were Here.
Yeah. Oh,
and everybody in school's like, you're brilliant. Except only
brilliant.
No one knew this Pink Floyd song. And then what I like is to show depth, he goes and looks at another person's piece of art. And that's how the director kind of conveyed that this was a deep kid and a deep movie.
This movie was so good that it became a band called Noah and the Whale as a nod to both the director and the title of the film.
Do you know what genre of music that was? And don't say dubstep.
I want to say dubstep. I believe it's some form of folk pop.
Yeah, I would categorize it as twee.
Twee, yes. Oh, I love Twee.
Yeah, yeah.
I genuinely love Twee.
Until
Twee and Tears for Fears.
Yes,
Noah and the Whale.
That, I would say that captures my entire personality.
Yeah.
Now, what does Twee stand for?
Twee does not stand for anything, but it is music that it's kind of sappy, I would say upbeat, very like saccharine sweet. But kind of sad, too melancholy,
like
and you would like hold your partner and lay in bed listening to this movie.
Yes, like if you've seen the movie 500 Days of Summer, you've experienced Twee.
Yes. Okay.
That is Twee. It's cutesy.
Yes.
I didn't realize I already experienced this.
Yes.
Okay.
Everything that exists, you've experienced.
Oh.
Wow. That's like from the movie Her. There is so much in white culture, and I'm so grateful that it exists.
And we're just scratching the surface here on this
we're
podcast.
Actually open to questions.
Wow.
Just to put it out there.
Wow. Okay. No white person has ever let me do this before. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
We famously don't like to talk about ourselves.
Yes. Okay. Well, do sunburns hurt?
so bad.
They hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it doesn't take long for it to happen.
No. What? It can't happen when you're like, I wasn't even at the beach.
No, you're just walking on a cloudy day. You'd been outside, burning
for hours, for days.
I have to turn the lights off in my apartment, like for 15 minutes every hour because I could get a sunburn just from the lights.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're then not you, messing with me?
No, I'm not messing with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you have to rub aloe vera all over your
body.
You probably were wondering why Michael and I are covered in aloe vera right now.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Mine's for a slightly different reason that I don't think I can talk about on this children's podcast.
I'll just whisper it so that kids aren't here.
Yeah, just whisper it.
He's a fetishist.
Oh, yeah. That explains it.
Yeah. Any other questions?
What was that sound?
That was for me.
Oh, okay. Yes, I have so many. Sure. While I have you, just because this is in front of me, I don't know if it's still their slogan, but Poland Spring's slogan used to be "Born Better." What's that about?
I will say that was
initially the slogan for white people. For a while
they changed that because of optics.
Yeah,
and I will say all white people are Polish. Some point, you can trace it back to there in German and English, you know, but Polish is a big part of it.
Was that really the slogan for Poland Spring?
I wish I had a photo of it right now, but it was on my bottle.
And now I guess it's proudly from Maine.
Which feels similar.
Yep, it is now that is also the slogan for
proudly
white people.
Proudly from Maine.
Proudly from Maine.
So, you know,
I wish they could put a little cardigan on a Poland Springs water bottle because that would really seal the deal.
You know how they say, is there all humans on Earth came from a certain place and just like sort of...
Mesopotamia, yeah. The Fertile Crescent.
Well, all white people came from Maine.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where all white people originated.
That makes sense.
And then we, you know, just migrated. Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, I just recently learned that the Von Trapp family from The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm. The ones hiding from the Nazis.
Yes. They, in the end of the movie, they escape through the Alps. I assume they're in Switzerland. I find
probably
out.
To ski. That's how they're going to get down.
Yeah, I know. Well, speaking of ski, I find out they're actually in Vermont.
Oh, the whole movie took place in Vermont. That's what's on the other side of the Alps.
They have a real life family estate or
the Von Trapps do in Vermont?
In Vermont?
It's like near-ish to Stowe, Vermont. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I used to go on ski trips there with my school.
I'm sort of remembering the movie. Was it the Nazis were just trying to stop them from skiing? And they were like, no, we're going to ski.
I don't think it was a Nazi. I think it was a principal.
Yeah.
Who was saying, hey, you dang sophomores, yeah, unless you pass, your fraternity is going to get shut down. You won't be able to compete in the ski tournament.
Yeah. Oh, and it was called, if I remember, it wasn't called The Sound of Music. It was called The Sound of the Slopes.
And I don't think it was called the Von Trapp family. I believe it was Van Wilder.
This is all
National
sounding
Lampoon's
more familiar.
Van Wilder.
Actually, you know what? It must have been
slopes.
A fever dream that I thought I saw The Sound of Music.
Yes, I would hate to correct you, but I do think your lived experience is invalid.
Thank you. I it's important for me to learn, and I thank you.
Well, we have time for one more question for us.
Okay, I do have one prepared.
Great.
I just last night was thinking, wouldn't it be fun if my drag name were Pat O'Butter? Now, is that offensive?
Well, Colin's, I'm half Irish. I think Colin's all Irish and Polish.
Pat O'Butter.
Yes.
And so I like, so this isn't,
what would
it's
you,
not, it's not even like forming a sentence, right? It's just,
no, it's
like just putting the O within a, with a, Pat
like
O'Butter?
A, like it's a pat of butter, you know, like a little square.
Like a little
oh,
pat
that's
of
called,
butter.
It's called a pat of butter.
It's
okay.
It's called a pat of butter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So Colin,
I knew that you are Colin O'Brien. Yes, no, yeah. So
yeah.
Is it
you probably dress in like a foil, a little like foil number, and if anybody could, if there was any skin showing, it would probably be buttery.
Yes, okay. Yes, absolutely.
I would just like to say that you don't have to worry. It is horribly offensive.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So you're just going to clear that right up. Right
I'm going to say,
yeah.
Alex, this now has marked what I would say. NC-17 content for the podcast, so we're not going to be able to release this for children.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want, I mean, just while you're already on the mic, if you want to
apologize,
have an apology. You can just record it now. Because I mean, they're definitely, as soon as it comes out, you're definitely
offensive.
Yes.
I just think it's offensive.
I might as well get ahead of while people are still composing their tweets.
Yes.
I might as well just apologize right
now. They start deleting the tweet as they hear the apology.
Yes, they've just heard the offensive.
And follow
remark.
Us now if you are at either Literati Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, or Eat My Ass, is on Twitter.
Eat My Ass.
Eat My Ass.
Yes, it is Eat My Ass,
and direct,
because Eat My Ass was taken.
Great. And direct any, hate mail, threats, whatever you feel is appropriate to at Alex Snog on Twitter and Instagram for me. And here is my apology. I'm sorry that what I said made you feel that way. I think what I said was funny.
Wow. It is so refreshing to get a genuine, real apology that just sort of cuts right to the core. And with that, I want to thank you for coming into the studio today and sharing your work.
It was
thank
an
you
absolute
so much for having
joy
me.
Having you. Yeah, thank you.
It was. Thank you for welcoming me into your space. It's strange, but I enjoyed it.
I would just like to say on behalf of Michael and myself, it was a pleasure to educate you.
Thank you.
Any final words of wisdom for aspiring writers out there?
Come up with an opinion and never change it.
There you go.
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.